You are listening to episode number 243 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. Pump it up! Pump it up! Pump it up, you came to get it drunk with a dame, I shit it drunk, you came to get it on. More than 5 O's in your bank to get it on. Roll up like that plank to get it on. Plank to fit it on, came to get it on. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode number 243 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. I'm your host, Ben, a.k.a. the Marvelous Iggy. Joining me is the man who is not impersonating Tom Brady at an Arizona Cardinals game, Mr. Brian Powers. Brian, welcome back. Football is back!
Football is back! Woo! 1-0! 1-0! Only one in the division to be 1-0. Hell yeah.
It's like you would think the AFC East is like, wait a minute, Brady's not playing. This is our chance, and they stumble out of the gate.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding. It's like we're taking on Arizona. You'd think every other team would smell blood in the water, and yet Jimmy G's holding it down out there while Brady's off throwing
I still think footballs. Arizona lost that game more than New England won that game to be.
Yeah, I'll give you that, because what was it? I think it was the Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. They had a hell of a game, too. That was down to the last minute. I was, like, biting my nails, like, what the hell happened? But Catanzaro couldn't take it to the hole, or the long snapper screwed it up, or somebody. But whatever the reason, whatever the outcome, we're 1-0, I'll
like
take the
Vin
win.
Vin Diesel says, it doesn't matter if you win by inch or
oh,
mile.
Ma, winning's winning. I am Groot, probably, at some point.
Exactly. That's what I say whenever I win in Street Fighter, like with one, like with a lucky hit. I'm like, I won. That's all that fucking matters is I won.
I am good.
But joining us next is a man whose team was basically screwed out of a win because the referees blew a call and made a call and extended the game where she extended. Jonathan Cartwright, your Cowboys were robbed. How do you feel?
Yeah, no kidding. They were robbed, but they also shouldn't have been in the position where they got robbed.
I see what you're saying there, but that play shouldn't have even happened.
Ugh. Pissed me off.
Yeah, but on the plus side, because this is also a wrestling podcast part-time too, we live in a world where, as of last night, where the two major champions for the big WWE are both Kevin Owens and AJ fucking Styles. I want to get your reactions on that before we go move on. That they're the champs.
Oh,
they're the faces of the company right now.
Kevin Owens is the Universal Champion, and you know AJ Styles is probably the more modern of the two in terms that he is. While they won't say it on the WWE, but he is the only man to have held the IWGP Heavyweight Championship out of Japan, out of New Japan Pro Wrestling. The NWA World Championship. Then it became, he also won it when it became the TNA World Championship title. And I'm just like, wow, I could not believe that they actually put the belt on him finally. And it's well deserved. The man has earned it. And while I like, you know, what's his face? Like, you know, obviously I can't remember his name. No, not Owens, but
Ambrose. You mean Ambrose.
WWE champion?
Yeah,
Ambrose. Apologies, my brain's kind of bleh, but I liked Ambrose as champ. But sorry, but I got to go with Styles, the phenomenal one. Congrats, and I hope he has a relatively decent long reign before Cena comes back and takes it.
Because
you know that's what they'll do.
Hey, he beat Cena.
Because you know that's what they do.
We'll see. We'll see. For now, let's bask in the glory.
Yeah.
That AJ Styles is the WWE World Champion and Kevin Owens, too, the indie sensation and the man and the phenomenal one, are world fucking champions.
As I mentioned before the show, may their reigns be longer than CM Punk lasted in his first UFC fight.
But you know what? You yeah. say that, and I'll say this is like a lot of people are saying, Punk had did something that a lot of people don't get to do. He did something that was his dream. He went for it. He had some setbacks, but he didn't stop, and he stepped in the octagon, which is a lot more than most people will do, the people who are talking shit at him. And while I don't like CM Punk, I still respect the hell out of him for stepping in the octagon.
Oh, yeah. No,
I knew he was
going
to lose. I think everybody knew he was going to lose to an experienced fighter. But, you know, we should have got better. Hey, he'll be back.
Yeah, I hope he is.
And we are.
We are not
a wrestling podcast, obviously. But...
Yeah, well, he seemed genuinely happier than when he was, like, at the end of his tenure in WWE. Like, looking at him, he looks better. And I'd rather it'd be nice. Also, so, but this is not a wrestling MMA podcast. This is the Mighty Warriors.
Are we sure?
No, it's not. I just like to talk about wrestling because...
Brother Nero, I knew you would come.
Exactly. God damn it. I just like talking about it with John because we don't have any other place to talk about it. But we are the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. We are a podcast dedicated to all Marvel things related. And we got some flaming hot stuff coming in from the news section. Brian, I'm giving you the perfect fucking segue. Don't you dare fuck this up for me, man. Who is coming... What official sneak peek did we get for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., a.k.a. the show that should be canceled after this season?
Hey! We'll see how it goes.
It's bad television.
Season 4, kids! Season 4 is kicking off with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and guess who's coming? None other than Ghost Rider himself, but not the one you're thinking of. No, not that one. No, not that one either. No, not that one. No, yeah, it's Robbie Reyes. Robbie Reyes, the newest incarnation of Ghost Rider, who was a young Latino from East L.A., I believe, who was a street racer, who was possessed by a spirit of vengeance that can transform him and his car into flaming hot spirits of vengeance that kill criminals and whatnot. So, he'll be coming to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He's teased to have a background with Mr. Hyde, Daisy's father. So, hopefully, we'll get Kyle MacLachlan back for a few episodes.
Are they going to say Ghost Rider's an inhuman? I swear to fucking God, if he's inhuman.
I'll be right there with you, Raging Brother, trust me. But, I mean, all signs got to point to it. But, we got our first look at Ghost Rider himself, what he'll look like on the show, as well as with the trailer, we saw his car. And, the car looks really, really tight. Looks really polished, really well done. I believe it. The Ghost Rider himself looks a little less polished than what you would have seen in the movies, because just say what you will about Nicolas Cage, the effects in that movie were pretty alright, I think, anyway.
It looked like Ghost Rider.
What's that?
It looked like Ghost Rider.
It did look like Ghost Rider, so that's really all that really matters at this point, because Ghost Rider is one of those characters I think everybody sort of has a soft spot for, because, you know, he's not one to really get the spotlight, he's just sort of hanging out in the background, like a few other characters, but his due is coming, and granted, it's not the Ghost Rider that, you know, was all those years ago, it's the new Ghost Rider, but still, there's potential there.
He looks
like a fan. Yeah, I saw that, I'm like, he doesn't look scary, like, I mean, granted, Nicolas Cage didn't look very scary either, but he had crazy going for him, so I guess that makes up for a lot, but I'm really hoping this kid pulls it off, Gabriel Luna. Hopefully he'll bring some prestige to the role of Ghost Rider for the first time.
You can't top Nick Cage's performance. That's probably why they're not doing Johnny Blaze.
Probably, but I like to think that they're giving the kid a chance to shine on his own, you know? But yeah, you're right. Nick Cage is a very tall shadow to step out from.
At the same time, though, I'm going to question this, and this is a person of color speaking. This has been the perfect chance to take back Ghost Rider, the Ghost Rider that people saw in the 2007 movie. Mm. And Ghost Rider's fairly recognizable amongst the populace, right? It's a biker with a flaming skull head. It's a pretty distinct look. It's one of the more distinct looks in all of comics.
Uh-huh.
And why, like, I don't know if it's for diverse reasons they want to put it on television, but like, if you're Marvel and you're saying, let's put Ghost Rider on TV, why aren't you doing the version that most people will recognize? Even though, why not keep it, you know, the Reyes kid, but then give him the motorcycle? Like, he has the muscle car, but that gets destroyed in the accident, and then he gets the motorcycle. Like, when I think Ghost Rider, I'm sorry, I always think motorcycle. It needs to be a motorcycle. Motorcycles are inherently cooler. I know Ghost Rider hasn't always had a motorcycle. He was an Old West character before.
Yeah.
And, like, there's changes, but, like, that iconic look is...
The other thing that gets me is that this guy hasn't had a very long shelf life. He's only been around for a couple of years.
Which is also surprising. It would have been made much more... If they were not going to go with Johnny Blaze, at least Danny Ketch, who also had the motorcycle with the blue flame skull, that would have at least been different. But I just don't understand this. I'm like, this is your chance to redo Ghost Rider, and what do? You say, fuck, we're not going to do that anymore. We're going to do this because reasons. Probably because of diversity reasons. I just and also again he looks
Vice City.
He looks fate. He looks fate.
Yeah, he looks like a dude cosplaying as Ghost Rider. That's
yeah.
What he looks
I'm
like.
Sure it'll look better in motion.
Yeah.
But
because from what I hear, he's a talented actor, and you know, I have more faith than most, I think, in the writing team on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but we'll see how it goes.
The same writing
All
team
I know
that
is that
only
if
got
this
one
kid...
season of Agent Carter, that writing team.
That wasn't the same writing team.
Whatever, it's
I don't think. But if this team can get a decent Ghost Rider performance and get Kyle MacLachlan as Calvin Zabo back, who was the highlight of season two, if I may say.
It was okay.
If they can get those two elements worked into that new season, that'll be more than enough to pique my interest. And remember, kids, the show moves to the 10 o'clock time slot, so it's supposed to be darker and sexier than before. So,
dude, if I don't get to see Chloe Bennett like half nude on the time, it's not going to be worth it. John, let's get your thoughts on old Flame Face.
All right. It'll be nice to see Paul Walker back
God
on TV.
God damn it!
You knew it was coming, but...
Brian.
I was hoping we'd forgotten about that and moved on.
Oh, it'll never be forgotten. It will always come back. It's never over. But as I have not seen any of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I can't really say one way or the other. I like this version of Ghost Rider, but I agree. Why not? Why couldn't have gone with Johnny Blaze? Who knows? Probably couldn't afford Nicolas Cage. But more power to him.
Nicolas
Cage pull it, they can pull
the
it
MCU,
off.
That would have been great.
Yeah, it'd be funny.
Maybe they could get a cameo of like a still photo. He could be his wacky uncle or something like that. Put a big mustache and like sombrero on Nick Cage, and it'll just be like, oh, it's Nick Cage. It's fun.
Or have him make an unsurprised, a very surprised cameo. And
he'd probably do it, too. He's a huge comic book nerd. I'm sure he'd love to do something like that, man.
And then have his head, you know, flame on or something, and then they just kind of leave it at that. But
just be sure to give him his jelly beans like he had in the Ghost Rider movie.
Yeah. But more power
to him. Make Nicolas Cage the new caretaker. Make him that.
Yeah. Good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, other than that, I'm good, and just see how it goes. I'm still trying to get a cheap copy of the first season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so hey.
Okay, yeah, well, okay. So the question before we move on to our other news topics is that Doctor Strange comes out in holy shit, in 2 months. You guys.
What?
We are less than 2 months away before the source. Oh, my. I'm sorry. Okay, I got to calm myself. Obviously, magic is going to be introduced to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's not scientific bullshit, although I guarantee you Tony Stark's going to try to explain it as science technical bullshit. But it's magic as far as we're concerned, right? It's using enchantments and all these things. Do you think this is the basically a way of Marvel Studios sort of spoon-feeding magic concepts into the MCU through the television show? Because if it is, I might watch it then, because if I get, like, Damien Hellstrom... Or, God, who's in
there?
Oh, yeah.
If I get any of those
old Defenders guy here,
I
would love that.
You know,
give me some Brother Voodoo. I would murder somebody for some Brother Voodoo.
Yeah. His short.
Not even Dr. Voodoo, just Brother Voodoo.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think they've done so much, like, with Hydra and Inhumans. Fuck Inhumans. Let's focus on magic. You want introduce the broader world and use Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as a device. And they're not going to do this, which is why I'm saying it. You use the television show to introduce these concepts that way, where in the when you get to Doctor Strange and they start and they may or may not reference certain things, you're already familiar with them. You know, when he starts talking about different.
They need something else to fall back on after the Inhumans movie. The entire point they became an Inhuman show got pushed off into "We'll get around to it" land. You know.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just saying. All I'm saying is this one final note: is that if Ghost Rider is an Inhuman, I will write. And it's fucked up.
Yeah.
There's changes in the characters, and then they're just like, well, we want to do this because we're lazy and we don't want to introduce magic. When literally magic is being introduced into a big budget movie. That's only if. I'm not saying he is, but god damn it, the writing is on the wall for the lazy ass writing to happen for him to be an Inhuman. Anything else before we move on, guys?
Nope. Glad to see Paul Walker coming back.
God. Okay. All right.
Right. Yeah, I don't really know what else to say.
From
on top
one horrible joke to potentially more horrible jokes, it turns out two sets of Marvel characters may be getting their own television series. I'm lit with these. Is that what the kids are saying, right? With these.
Oh yeah, that's what the young
segues.
Kids are saying. It's turns.
I'm turnt with these segues. Apparently, Squirrel Girl and New Warriors are getting a comedy series in development. Brian, what is the fucking deal on this shit?
Well, yeah, allegedly Marvel and ABC are developing a new series based around the New Warriors team, which would include Squirrel Girl in this case. The series would focus on what is described as junior version of the Avengers, a superhero squad made up of teenagers, one of whom would include Doreen Green, who is Squirrel Girl. And for those of you who don't know, the New Warriors mainly consist of, like, Firestar from the old Spider-Man cartoons. You know, the Spider-Man and his amazing friends. She's one of the amazing friends. Vance Astrovik, a.k.a. Justice and Marvel Boy and all that good stuff. Namorita, Night Thrasher, Richard Rider, Nova, and Speedball, Robbie Baldwin. So, pretty solid lineup, pretty good basis in not being taken entirely seriously, because a lot of those characters have been used for comedy one way or the other. Whether it's slapstick or it's like they're wisecrackers or something like that. So, but yeah, this team would include Squirrel Girl, even though I don't believe she's ever been a member of the New Warriors in any incarnation.
No, she's never.
Yeah, so there's that. So, but if the Squirrel Girl is popular right now, she's part of the zeitgeist, and personally, my girlfriend loves her. So if they bring her to the screen with the New Warriors, she wouldn't be a terrible addition, especially if they go for the dream cast that everybody wants for Squirrel Girl, which is none other than Anna Kendrick herself, who expressed a desire to play the character. So would that carry over into TV? Would she do a TV show? Would she stick to movies and say, fuck it? Who knows? But we could be getting a comedy-based New Warriors series in the near future. So.
What I still don't understand this fascination with Squirrel Girl, because I feel like we've been talking about Squirrel Girl for the better part of several years now, over rumors, Netflix series, ongoing series of her own comics. Maybe it's just me, but I don't understand Squirrel Girl. Or I like her, but I don't understand the broad appeal she has to most people.
Oh yeah, I don't get it either.
Because I know there's talks that there's the actors who played Barb on the Netflix show Stranger Things wants to play Squirrel Girl, but who doesn't want to be in a Marvel... I mean, like, shit, being in a Marvel movie is pretty...
The actress from Stranger... Winona Ryder?
Barb. Not... I would have said Winona Ryder. Would I... Don't you think I would have said Winona Ryder and overacting this? Don't you? I'm going to start crying because you're making me think of Winona Ryder.
I am sorry I made you think of Winona Ryder, okay? But, no,
I mean,
it can't be Winona
granted, she is the most prominent female on that show, but I was thinking one of the other girl's best friends. Apparently, that was
I haven't
movie.
Seen it, so excuse my illiteracy.
You need to watch it. You need to watch it. It's only eight
Shannon.
Episodes long. It's only eight episodes
Shannon
long.
Mercer.
It's only eight episodes long.
What up? She's going to play Ethel Muggs in Riverdale, too, the same actress. She'll be in that new
movie. Maybe she likes comics up. But either way, people love her. She wants to play Squirrel Girl. I don't really have a lot of experience with the New Warriors, but I never saw them as jokes. But I guess if you're going to...
Nobody really has experience with them. They're kind of one of those teams that goes away and comes back every few years.
Well, they had
it's
a
like...
long-running series, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, they did. And then they fucking blew up Stanford. They're the ones who were responsible for that. So
turned everything dank.
Yeah, that made Speedball penance, and that was just bullshit. And, you know.
Brian missed my Avatar reference, and I'm sad. I never really associated comedy with them. Maybe it's because I grew up, quote unquote, grown up with the new Warriors that are not these goofy kids or these underscreen characters who are just can't join the Avengers unless your name is Vance Astrovik and Firestar.
Firestar, Speedball, the original Richard Rider Nova was a member of the New Warriors, the original incarnation.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
Night Thrasher. I mean, maybe they could get off playing him like dark and gritty as opposed to everybody else. You could be like the.
I'm
stick
just
of
saying,
the
it's weird for like a comedy series, like to say it's a comedy series. Like I don't know if, like, maybe just another action-adventure series. Like, it's obviously... It wouldn't be as grim and gritty as, say, the Netflix stuff that, you know, like, it wouldn't be on that level. But I think calling a comedy paints...
I'm thinking something more in line with the first season of Secret, or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., rather.
Yeah, something more because along those lines. The second you put comedy on something, it immediately changes their expectations on what it is, and I don't think people want a comedy series centered around, like, characters of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Like, I think they want to have, like, a little bit of everything in what the Marvel movies do. But that's just me. I don't know. The New Warriors is so fucking obscure. Then again, the Guardians of the Galaxy was obscure, and that hit well. But
yeah.
It's just my only problem with this is Squirrel Girl possibly included, because I just don't get it. I don't
really
understand it.
I thought your biggest problem would be that both Ben Reilly and Kane were both alumni of the New Warriors at one point or another.
I mean, I didn't fucking need to know that, and you had to go ruin my day. Thank you. Thank you. Fucking clones.
You have that to look forward to now that they own the rights again.
Oh, my God. I swear to God, that's what Spider-Man... That's what after Spider-Man Homecoming, Spider-Man the Clone Saga. Watch. Watch. Listen on September 12th, 2016. Come listen to this podcast at the time it was recorded. The second Spider-Man movie under MCU Sony... We fucking Clone Saga. There's gonna be a post-credit sequence with the Jackal. I'm calling it right now. But John, let's get your thoughts on all this.
I'm a longtime fan of the New Warriors from back in the day when Fabian Nicieza and Mark Bagley did their initial run. After that, I've hated what they've done with the group, and. It's gotten to the point where, yeah, they're a comedy team, I guess, now for TV, whatever. Now, Squirrel Girl, I will say this. Anna Kendrick, I can see her playing Squirrel Girl. And depending on the version they do, like more of the Brian Michael Bendis Avengers version, I'd be up for it. But if it's the more current piece of crap comic book series that they've had out that I've tried to read even for free and I can't, then... No, I'm not interested. It's just going to be, the usual wait and see. But if they get Anna Kendrick to play her, then my interest will be, it will pick up, so to speak, yeah. And that's all I got to say on it.
Brian, anything you want to say about this before we move on?
Only that I would like to get Taser's opinion, because I think he's a fan of the New Warriors as well, and I'm not sure. I think he would think it was awful. I like to think I know what he thinks, but yeah. I mean, I really have no strong feelings for the New Warriors, one way or the other. I know a few of the characters; the other half I do not know. So it's really kind of a zero sum game with what I'm working with. I really don't care one way or the other, but I will agree to your point, Iggy. There's a reason we haven't seen any full gear comedy series. Like, what was that one that was supposed to air for the DC Universe? Powerless, that I don't think that's ever going to be coming out now.
Yeah.
Damage Control never made it past the pilot stage, or even the commission of a pilot, I don't think. And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. lost the comedy real quick, and they've gone on for like four seasons now. And Agent Carter really didn't lose the comedy, kind of, and she got canceled after season two.
You mean season one, because there was no season two.
Oh, there was. Excuse me, then. Fine. I don't think comedy is the way to go when it comes to superhero, at least not whole hog. You need to diversify, like you're saying. Make it a comedy. Make it a drama. Make it sci-fi, X-Files type case of the week stuff. Make it a season-long arc, but you have to do it in a way that consistently keeps appealing to people. Because after a while, superheroes doing funny things isn't going to wear out anymore. That's why
it's not like Friends, like Seinfeld or Friends, where like you can live off their humanity, their funniness, because it's their day-to-day lives. Versus superheroes, it's just like, yeah, that's going to get old very, very quickly.
Yeah. We have Richard Rider come in, like, and what is the deal with supervillains? And then Speedball comes.
Oh, my God. Jerry Seinfeld
Kramer.
For Richard Rider. Fucking do that shit. Fucking
Jerry
do
Seinfeld,
it.
Jerry Seinfeld, Nova.
Put him in Guardians of the Galaxy, like, Volume 2.
You got Speedball busting in like fucking Kramer. Like, hey, guys, what's going on? Bouncing off the walls and stuff. And
Wait, then who's Newman, then? Who would be Newman?
Did the New Warriors have like a consistent like arch enemy?
John, you're all the old reference man now. Who is the?
Oh dear God! New Warriors never really had an actual
nemesis,
arch fiend.
Really?
Other than one or two people with that were Night Thrasher's people, but otherwise they were kind of like fighting Terrax, anybody else they could find. They did have a group that was kind of like a different version of them, that was like a darker side version of them. But I can't.
Would that be the Folding Circle? Or was that
maybe?
Yeah, because the only ones they note are Folding Circle and a villain called Sphinx. That's like they don't even have really.
The Sphinx was from Nova.
Maybe that would be the Newman then. Hello, Sphinx, or something like that. And then, Anna Kendrick. Let's diversify and say that Firestar is George. How about that?
Okay.
She could, like, have killed Buck Drake off screen.
I just love that we just turned the cast into News Warriors as if it's. I just love that.
I can just see her going Serenity Now and just flaming everything.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And then you have. You can have Squirrel Girl, as played by Anna Kendrick, mention masturbating and then just the entire audience going, what?
Yeah.
And then you lose the audience.
So there you go. That's how you make a New Warriors fucking show work. Get the people of Seinfeld to come back and just like put them in costumes. There you go. Make it a Seinfeld. Make it a show about nothing. There you go. All right, let's move on to the final bit of news where we can all bitch a little bit. So, Civil War 2 has been ravaging the Marvel Universe. I actually wrote an article on Nerdcore.line titled The Assassination Captain Marvel, where basically, I think we've said it before, but basically Captain Marvel has transformed from this very strong, stoic, strong female character to this totalitarian bitch who thinks it's okay to arrest people without even committing crimes. That's lazy writing from the Marvel staff, mind you. And Lord knows, but go read that. Nerdcore.online. For my short of brief little thing on basically the assassination of Captain Marvel. But we're going to have to endure that for the next 4 months. Brian, why the fuck is Civil War 2 delayed to the end of the year?
Well, yeah, it is delayed as it stands.
It was running on time.
I know it was. But, I mean, the initial delays were not bad, but there have been additional delays on top of that. I'm going to get into it in just a moment. Civil War 5 is scheduled to come out September 21st, which at the time of this recording, I think, is next Wednesday? Yeah, next Wednesday. Not this coming Wednesday, but next one. And the last three issues, number 6, number 7, number 8, are going to be due out October 26th, November 30th, and December 28th, respectively. So Civil War number 8 was the final issue, originally slated to wrap up on November 2nd. But 10 weeks... There's a gap between the original end and the new end. It's 10 weeks. There's been delays. Initially, in August, the delays were caused by the birth of David Marquez's child, his first artist. He took some time off to adjust for that, but there's no word from Marvel. They refused to comment on... if that was the reason for the additional delays or if it was just something else. But basically what we're dealing with is Civil War 2 will run until the end of 2016. So that's really what we're looking at right now. That is the state of the Civil War, so it seems.
Secret Wars all over again.
Yeah, pretty much. I love David Marquez, and I think it's easy to say that despite that I'm not reading Civil War, it was the best part of the series.
His art's been phenomenal throughout the entire series. No lie.
And one thing that... Oh, God damn, it was already felt like it was dragging in of itself. Even just reading. That means either they're going to extend the Civil War tie-ins past what they've already gone. Because it was supposed to wrap up in what this month, right? Either this month or next month.
Uh-huh. The tie-ins?
No. Well, just the main series in general. It's supposed to wrap up either this month or next month, wasn't it?
Originally slated, I think so, yeah.
Okay, then so it now...
Number 8 was delayed to November, and now December. So.
I thought it was a 7-issue miniseries.
Nope, it's 8.
Oh my god. That means 9 issues in total because of that fucking 0 issue. God damn
it. Oh, I forgot about that!
Yeah, 0 issue, that meant shit because Jane Rhodes died. But it's... I'm just like, you know, I'm... I've enjoyed the Civil War tie-ins that I've read because, like, I'm already in the book, like, Miss Marvel and Scarlet Witch, but that was only a one-issue thing as my dog continues to bark at my disapproval of Captain Marvel. Even he's unhappy with Civil War 2. But I'm just like, Marvel, come on, this didn't happen. Like, I know it's stupid to bitch about delays. I'm not bitching because I can't get the comic. I'm just like, I want it to be over with so we can just get this done. And the fact that just you're telling me we can't get a fucking another artist to do this, like, just get another artist, just fucking finish it. Most readers are very apathetic. I guarantee you most readers are very apathetic to this. And the reason why it's high up in sales is because the comic shops are opening them up. But I guarantee you go to any comic shop, you're going to find stacks and stacks of Civil War 2s all over the place. They're not going to be hard to find. So, find me people who are actually excited about the story. Not just intrigued or entertained, but actually excited. Because at least Civil War 1 was at least enthralling, which had its own share of delays too and were infuriating. But I feel like with this one, with how irrelevant and how pointless this whole is and how it's basically killed a character like Captain Marvel, it's just like, can we just get, like, I love Dave Marquez, but if you're good, let's just get the fucking book out and let's just fucking finish this and move on to the next thing. Secret Wars should have had that happen. At the end of the day, you gotta move on. Let's just get this over with. I'm just tired. I don't want to deal with Civil War 2 anymore. I'm tired. I feel so terrible. What happened to Captain Marvel? She's basically a villain now.
And I'm done with it. Yiggy's War Journal, day one. There's no way to sight.
Yiggy's Journal, October 12th, 2016. They're still publishing Civil War 2. Doug Carcassonelli. Okay, I'm going to stop quoting Watchmen because I can't.
I don't care.
They'll give me asking me. They'll shout, pull Civil War 2. And I'll whisper, no. Okay, no more Rorschach impersonations. Because my throat's okay. Starting to hurt after that. But either way, John, rant. Because I know you want to rant.
Oh, it's not going to be as bad for me because I was already expecting shit to go down, you know, this route. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. If an artist, and now don't get me wrong, if you know, you had a child, you know, baby was born, congratulations. You know, they should have had, you know, a backup plan for that to happen and get him replaced, and that way things could go on smoothly. If he's unable to do it at all, can his ass, bring somebody in. Simple as that. You've got shit, like you said, you got number ones coming up that you're trying to do as part of this whole promotion. And they bungholed it with Secret Wars, and they're bungholing it again with Civil War II, even though Civil War II is a big pile of stuff coming out of said bunghole. If you're going to, that's what pisses me off. I mean, if this was just a normal, regular series where, you know, every so often you might have to let the artist take a break and, you know, maybe let the series take a month or two ops for him to catch up, okay. I can support that. But when you've got a event that you got that you're trying to get out and push and push and ram this other shit down people's throats. We're getting Frobot. We're getting all this other crap. That because of everything that's spinning out of this whole set event, you want to get the title out on time and finished on time so your number ones aren't coming out before the damn thing is over. And I want to know who's smoking whatever crack over at Marvel where they find this to be a perfectly sound business, you know, model, because it pisses me off. It was bad enough that we just got done with Secret Wars, that they started in getting adjusted to the new paradigm. They went, oh, by the way, we're doing Civil War II. And that's when I hit my head, went into the brick wall, you know, several times. It didn't even matter who was writing it or not writing it or whatever. And I can't fathom what's going on at the brain trust of Marvel right now with all this bullshit. If I was somebody up at Disney seeing this going on and it's causing delay on a product, you know, that they're trying to promote and get it out by a particular date, I'd be firing somebody's ass. You know, I don't understand what they're doing over there. I mean, right now DC is kicking their ass in a lot of ways. And yes, I say that. DC
Mostly
right
because they
now.
haven't tried to do an event yet, but that's going to be coming up soon,
Yeah.
so.
Well,
Well,
the event
end of
they've
the
got going
year.
on right now is their overall, yeah, is they're doing an overlong event called Rebirth. Well, they're doing it right. Marvel just, they've gone off the rails. I mean, I would like some of the crack they're smoking, whatever meth they've got taken. I mean, I don't know. I just, more I see of this shit, and the more I'm just like, good God. I'm still surprised I even read the occasional title that I do. You know, I mean, someone's head is up somebody else's head, ass, and that person's head is up, also up their own ass, and they still can't figure out what they're doing. I don't really know. Other than they need to do some house cleaning, I think. Get some people that get people in there that know what the fuck they're doing. Get Michael Bendis off of writing duties of everything, you know, for a while. Get the, you know, if that's the problem. If it's the artist, shit can him and replace him with somebody else. You can at least finish it out. I'm not trying to be mean or anything. It's business, not personal. And I got so burned out on this shit from the early to mid 90s due to Image and Marvel and DC, all three doing the delay, delay, delay. And I can't fathom this shit. I really can't.
I gathered that because you keep saying you can't fathom this shit.
I know. That's how stupid it is. It's making me repeat the same shit. Just like, I just, oh. Anyway, Marvel needs to get their heads out of their ass, get it back together, get someone in there that knows what the fuck they're doing, that has the balls to say, look, this is not going right. If we're going to keep doing this the way we're doing it, we need to do it right. If we got an event that's going to come out, you better get somebody in there to get four or five issues scripted and done before we even go to print for the first issue. That way, if there is a delay, if somebody's having a hard time catching up, at least there's a cushion, you know? I mean, hell, back on Batman Hush, they made sure that Jim Lee had seven issues completely done before they even did the first issue out in print. And just to make sure there would be no delays. And if you're going to do a major event, get it set up, get it done right, get a writer that's reliable, have it done a couple of months ahead of whatever, get an artist that you know can that will get it out on time, you know, still keep his style and not compromise. And then make sure you have some sort of cushion in place to where if something happens, because things do happen, real life happens, storylines can get screwed up or, you know, controversy will come up. But at least that way you have something to make everything go smoothly. And if you think you can't make it work out, then you need to say, hey, okay, this is what's going on. We're delaying the releases of the number one issues by a month or two so we can get this set up and run it smoothly instead of this bullshit where somebody that's going to pick up a new number one and they're not sure what the hell's going on. The miniseries that they'll refer to, not even done yet. And it's asinine. And I think Marvel's getting to where they're like, oh, people will buy it anyway because it's us. Well, guess what? I'm not one of them. And I'm recommending to a lot of people they need to stop buying this stuff to give them the subtle hint they need to get their shit together. And that's pretty much all I got to say on it.
Are you
Because I've.
sure? Are you sure, John? Tell us how you
I'm
really
sure.
feel. I'm just kidding.
If
I'll
I
love you.
told you how I really feel, I would like to see Paul Walker in
God.
charge of it. He would do a better job.
Brian, what are your thoughts on the Civil War II being delayed?
Send all emails to me.
Honestly, I'm not all that upset by it because I knew they were coming one way or the other. There's always delays in a big series, even if they do have them in the bag. But by that same token, you know, John was mentioning how Marvel needs to step their game up because, you know, DC's actually out there kicking ass, taking names, all that good stuff. Well, so many companies are doing so much good stuff right now. And Marvel is still doing some really good series, too, that I'm so distracted by those, I can't even be bothered to really be upset about this. Because I'm like, oh, no, I only have more time to read this entire stack of comic books I have next to me. Oh, no. And you say how you want to find someone who was actually genuinely excited for this series, and there's probably nobody out there. Well, that probably just makes it okay to delay it then, doesn't it? Because who's going to care? Honestly, the next issue comes out when the next issue comes out.
But that really says, like, just how mediocre this event really is.
Oh, yeah, it's mediocre. I mean, so far it's been mediocre. I've liked a few other things here and there.
This is worse than Fear itself, dude. This is worse than Fear
itself. No, it's not. I refuse to say anything is worse than Fear itself until it's all done in the books, okay?
So far, I have to agree with Ben on that one.
I don't agree with either of you, so, you know.
I mean, I'm not trying to start a fight or anything. I'm just...
No, I know. I'm just saying. My own opinion, I don't hate it. I'm actually kind of enjoying it. I mean, and one thing I actually really have enjoyed so far is that this event's tie-in series have been on point so far. They've been really fucking good. I've enjoyed a good majority of the tie-in events they had going on here. I mean, you get so much more insight into the stuff going on by reading the actual tie-in books that you actually... The event is more well-rounded because of the tie-ins, and I think that goes a long way towards solidifying my faith in the series as coming out the other side being a good series. Now, by that same side, you could argue, oh, well, if it can't stand on its own, what's good about it? No event series that I can recall ever stood on its own without the support of other series, and frankly, I'm more than content reading those while they work on the next few issues. And, you know, David Marquez, he just had a kid. Congratulations to him. But it's, you know, it's just, it happens. Everything happens. You know how long I've been waiting for fucking the next issue of Karnak for? Huh? And I'm still waiting for that one. God damn it.
Warren Ellis. Hasn't been canceled yet, like Nighthawk?
It probably has been canceled. I'm just too stupid to realize it. But Nighthawk?
Was
Nighthawk canceled? Oh, okay.
Yeah, either that or Warren Ellis got into a fight with somebody.
Well, I hope Karnak didn't get canceled because it kind of ended on a cliffhanger, but... Suffice to say, I'm a patient dude. I can wait.
The first Warren Ellis book that got ended on a cliffhanger because he got in a fight with somebody.
Back in my day, I read Old Man Logan issue to issue. I didn't have no fancy collected editions. You know, it's fine.
No, fuck you. No, don't stop with that line.
There wasn't a collected edition
as soon as the fucking thing finished.
Well, yeah, but I still read it issue to issue, and I actually don't own a collected edition. I only keep the individual issues.
Collected edition's better. Get the collected edition. Let's move on. It sucks. It's stupid.
Don't care that it's delayed. You know, it's fine. It happens.
I hate it because it impacts the books that I'm reading. That's why I hate it.
Yeah. Still can't.
What I hate are the fact that it's screwing up their business decisions on the promotions and stuff, and. It disrupts it, you know. Secret Wars totally disrupted everything.
Yep. Well, we're gonna move on.
But anyway,
Our individual reviews, and I'm gonna foolishly let John talk again with his review.
Thanks.
Of Deadpool and Mercs for the Money, Johnny. You know I love you. We're gonna be tag team champions.
I love
you, bro. We're gonna be like Rhino and Heath Slater. We're gonna win the tag titles.
Oh dear God.
Deadpool Mercs for Money number 3, because apparently fucking Marvel loves Deadpool for some reason.
Okay,
It's all about the money.
I will say this. Colin Bunn and Evan Coelho, the writer and artist, have done a fairly decent job with this run so far. Third issue in, I'm looking forward to the next one. It's just enough of the Deadpool that everybody knows and loves, but not being so completely out, you know, whack-jobbed that you can enjoy it. Also, I get to see all these other characters that I haven't seen in ages, like Pool Killer, Slapstick, the gentleman's name from the Sea Ray, Stingray, Terror Incorporated. that work for Deadpool, and there's this guy that dresses like Deadpool, speaks nothing but Spanish, and is like his sidekick, so I'm not really familiar with it, but it's hilarious. This issue is just basically the group of the Mercs are trying to decide whether or not they want to keep working with Deadpool because he keeps taking on these weird missions and almost gets them killed, never gets his intel correct, and they almost wind up getting their asses handed to him. They run into this bar looking for a guy named Nuclo, and then they find out, you know, apparently he's not there, but they run into Nuke. Captain America's Nuke. The guy with the flag on the face.
Ooh. What's he doing there?
And just hanging out in his beer and hanging out in his barn, and he picks a fight with Deadpool, and you know, everybody else is like, okay, we need to leave. This is not what we need. Apologize, do something right so we don't have to get anybody gets hurt. Deadpool's like, hey, we don't need to fight, but I want to. And he shoots Nuclo right in the head, trying to, he goes, I'm just trying to figure out which of the 50 states I want to shoot first. And he goes, so long, Indiana, and shoots him in the head. And everybody looks at him horrified, and he's like, what? You said we didn't need this guy, right? And Nuke just goes full on Hulk to Loki in the Avengers film.
Ooh, Ragdoll. That's fun.
Yeah, grabbed him and just bam, bam. And Deadpool's like a cursed patriotic rage and woodworking. And it was hilarious. And then they flash back, come back to present, and they're talking still, and then they go to this other deal where they're this silver guy that's wearing armor and is a radioactive, I guess it's Nuclo, but he looks almost like a very bad version of Superior Iron Man's armor. And they're fighting, and Deadpool's like telling him, hey, stop it. You know, I guess it's Cobalt Man, so who they're fighting. And it's like, stop the foolishness. A really big boy like you shouldn't be throwing tantrums. I mean, come on, you're going to get beaten severely, then come on. He's like, no, I think you're all stupid. I fought Iron Man and the Hulk. No way a lunatic and a bunch of wannabe has-beens can beat me. And, of course, Deadpool's like, okay, you can call me a lunatic, but I'm not a has-been because I'm kind of famous. Department stores across the United States, so shirts with pictures of me on them. And attacking him, stabs him in the face, but then, you know, it's just hilarious. And then Deadpool's like, okay, you can all deal with it later. And the guy goes, Deadpool, you can't be serious. A grenade, there's civilians here. And he's like, ah, grow up, Solo. How do you expect to strike fear and explosive diarrhea into the hearts and butts of bad guys without a little bit of... And then he gets blasted in the face, and his hands disintegrated with the hand grenades disintegrated. And he's like, wait a minute. See what you did? You distracted me. Now I got to go through life with the knowledge that I got my hand blown off by a guy named Ralph. And it was funny. And they finally take him down. They get to where they finally agree that they've decided to leave Deadpool. Deadpool finally talks to this other guy from this company that they've been working for, capturing these radioactive people or other people. And turns out that's Machine Man, who is working as an inside spy, saying, I've been working undercover. You need to alert someone, anyone, that what they're attempting, we have to stop them. Because Deadpool and them were told that they were trying to save these individuals.
Oh God, John! Please stop, John! Please stop. Sorry about that technical issue on Jonathan's end. So unfortunately, he's leaving for the rest of the episode. But Brian is going to help me close it out with his review of what are you reviewing, Brian? I tend to forget.
Uncanny X-Men number 12.
The Greg Land book.
I'm kind of glad John's not here for this because I'd be eating a lot of crow right about now. Yeah. So I had originally decided to drop this series. And I had dropped it until I found out what this issue was about and the new overarching story was about. And I thought, okay, I'll give it a shot.
They're done with that whole Apocalypse War bullshit, right?
Yes, thankfully.
By the way, I went back and read Extraordinary X-Men's. That was such a mediocre ending to that shit.
Yeah. Like, well, trust me. Uncanny's was worse.
Like, quick side take. like, I couldn't read it because I'm reading other Jeff Lemire stuff that's not that. I'm just like, this is just average. Like, you can tell he's not doing his best here. And if I'm going to read X-Men, I want somebody who is passionate about the X-Men.
Yeah.
Is all new X-Men worth it? Is all new X-Men worth it? Please.
All new X-Men?
Yeah, with the young
with
ones.
With the Evan stuff, yes. That is the only stuff that's worth the Apocalypse War stuff.
No, I'm just talking about in general, like, as an X-Men fan. Because, like, I'm only reading Wolverine. I need an X-Men book.
Then go all new X-Men. That's the only one right now I think is completely worth a run. Because Uncanny stumbled a lot with the friggin', you know, with the Apocalypse Wars, a lot worse, I think, than honestly Extraordinary. Where Extraordinary X-Men was like, you know, mediocre, maybe. This series was just all over the place. It didn't really like. I hated it. But now I'm coming into it again, and I gotta admit, the last two issues post Apocalypse War stuff has been pretty damn good. So, what this new story arc deals with is, Magneto is confronting the problem that we know about of the shrinking mutant population. And so he's really trying to figure out how the best way to deal with that is. And his rationale is to build up allies, build alliances, sort of like create a web that he can rely on for support while he tries to save mutant kind pretty much all on his own. Because ever since he died in pre-Secret War and came back again, he's sort of like, now I'm the guy who has to do this stuff. I have to do it because nobody else will. And so aside from his team of Uncanny X-Men, which includes Betsy Braddock, a.k.a. Psylocke, Monet St. Croix, Sabretooth, still post-Axis Sabretooth for some weird reason, but it works.
Wait, I thought he was reverted back to... Wait, was he never reverted back?
Nope, he was one of the ones who stayed the way he was after Axis.
I got that, but I thought with like after Secret Wars, it was just like, we're back to normal.
Apparently Sabretooth stayed the way he did. He is the only one, it seems like.
Huh.
So, yeah, he's still inverted.
He's the fucking and,
Yeah, and we have Archangel. And Archangel, just out of the events of Apocalypse Wars, is now a merged sort of blank slate conscious of Warren Worthington and Archangel. So they're back in one body now. There's no more free, lock, flowing Angel or whatever. There's none of that. They're
so Warren's back?
Warren is back as Archangel. That happened.
But he's not sleeping with Psylocke, so Hey, as far as I'm aware, both Psylocke and Warren Worthington retired to... Warren Worthington is dead, and Psylocke is still tapping that ass that is Phantom X in his French Lodge.
Oh, God, we just had Phantom X in the Apocalypse War stuff, and that was even worse. That was terrible.
Yeah, Uncanny X-Force is their canonical ending. That's it. No more.
Yeah,
that's it.
Man.
We're done. Let's close up
shop. Anyway, Uncanny X-Men. So Magneto has his team of X-Men to do the brawling and the fighting and the stuff, but he also has the Hellfire Club, of which he's now the White King of the Hellfire Club. And he did that because he needs money and influence to also help save mutant kind, as evidenced by something that happens later in the book. But here is the basic roster rundown for the Hellfire Club. We have Black Tom Cassidy, he's the White Bishop, Briar Raleigh, who was Magneto's supporting character in the solo series that Cullen Bunn also wrote. She is the Black Bishop. Monet St. Croix is the White Queen. Sebastian Shaw is the Black King. Magneto is the White King. And he's trying to sway Betsy to become the new Black Queen of the Hellfire Club. And Sabretooth is there by just general vicinity. I don't think they'd ever let him in anyway. But so they're dealing with the fallout of the first arc, I should say, of the Someday Corporation, which was taking in mutants who were either afraid of the Mpox plague or affected by it, and they're putting them in cryogenic stasis. And now the question is, well, the Someday Corporation was corrupt and against mutants and experimenting on them, so where did all the mutants go? So that's their job right now, is finding out. So in a pretty exciting sequence, actually, I'm kind of stoked for this. The Someday Corporation has a research station in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. There's a strike force of Betsy, Monet, Sabretooth, Black Tom Cassidy, Magneto, and a bunch of Hellfire goons. And they go out there to figure out where all the mutants have gone. Turns out, that the Someday Corporation has figured out a way to turn the mutants into their own mind-controlled slaves. They do the Someday Corporation's bidding, and in this case, they attack the X-Men who have come to free them, even though they don't know what's going on. And also, Monet St. Croix is getting her own little bit of a subplot, because I'm not sure how much of a fan you are of Monet, but she has a brother named M-Plate, and he is fucking scary. He was probably the best part of the Apocalypse War stuff. He's essentially a guy who can copy the powers of any mutant in the vicinity. So he can do that, but he also, by extension, has these weird vampiric mouths on his hands, and he can transfer that as an infection of his consciousness into any one person. And so Monet is infected with the brother's consciousness, and she also has monster hands. And she straight up just eviscerates this one mutant who comes at her, just sucks the life out of her, and kills her on the spot. And Monet's been dealing with that, and there's actually a really cool bromance between Monet and Sabretooth, where he's trying to help her because he knows what it's like to be a monster who's been unleashed and all that stuff. And it's a pretty good arc. I'm really liking this take on Sabretooth. And I have to say, though, I so wish this was being written by somebody better, or not written, illustrated by somebody better. I love Cullen Bunn. He knows Magneto. He does a great ensemble book. But Greg Land is not the artist for this. He sucks. Every female face looks the fucking same.
I'm sitting there and I'm...
It is the same. There's no difference. I'm sitting there and I'm looking and Monet, and you know, he loves the one look where it's like the woman who's like biting her fingertip and shunting her hips off to one side or the other. It's like, dude, come on. Like, at least try to be an individual. Try something, please. But no. No. We don't get that. The writing, the story so far is really good. We're only two issues into the new arc, but I love it so far. It's got my attention, but the artwork is just horrendous. If you can get anybody else on this book, please, for the love of God. The Apocalypse Wars had a different illustrator. They didn't have Greg Land on for the Apocalypse War stuff. I'm sitting there and I'm like, why not do that all the time? Just keep that guy. Keep that guy. But no. So I'm really kind of, conflicted about this. I'll give it a 3.5 out of 5. Mostly because the writing is really good. I like the characters and where they're at now. And I think with a better artist, this book could really be something special. But until it drops Greg Land like a hot potato, we're not going to see it. So, 3 out of 5. I'm being cautious because, like I said, the last couple arcs were kind of lackluster. So, we'll see where it goes from here. But, yeah. So, 3.5 out of 5. That's my rating.
Well, I'm going to close this out with the review of Silk, number 12. I dropped this book during that whole Spider-Woman event that they did like in April or something. I don't really remember. But I picked it back up once it was over with because I like Silk. Cindy Moon is one of my new favorite characters along with Kamala Khan. And this issue sort of begins... Well, last issue really began the story arc. She's basically trying to find her missing parents. She's done being a double agent spying on Black Cat. So, unbeknownst to her and her two friends, they all sort of wander into the negative zone as her parents... left her a trail on how to find her, and so it leads them straight into the negative zone. And it's, I always like, stories like this where like you put the hero, like you would never put like a street level character like say Daredevil in a negative zone by himself, but you want to do it because you want to see how he'd react and just sort of shenanigans that sort of happens. And Tana Ford, who is the artist for this one, who gets a lot of flack, she's not the normal artist for this.
And she's a fill-in? She's a fill-in?
Yeah, well, she's like the alternating artist, so but she's not like the main artist. But I think her pencils are getting better with each issue. I enjoy her, Cindy Moon's friends. And they're just like their banter together, and they're really cute and adorable together. It's really fun. And but what's crazy is at first I thought they were in the Savage Land because the Negative Zone apparently has dinosaurs. Like I don't remember that part of the Negative Zone, but it's
yeah,
a big...
that's Savage Land. I think they're confusing their
the cover says Haunt not Negative Zone, so like they look like dinosaurs. There's actually a big Jurassic Park reference. Like there's a double page spread of Cindy's friends saying "Welcome to Jurassic Park," and it's a very nice double page spread of. Like at first, I thought it was like the Land of Time I Forgot or so. What's the other book? The one that's about sword and sorcery.
Weird World.
Yeah, I thought it was that, but I'm like, no, the cover says Negative Zone, so like it didn't look like the Negative Zone. But whatever, that's not the point. So they meet a talking dragon, and for some reason they're now in like a medieval town. Like it's still Negative Zone, but like there's these all these tropes that are not associated with. The Negative Zone. So either way, they meet a dragon who doesn't want to be called Smog, and apparently his name is David Wilcox. Is that a reference? Is the dragon
David
name
Wilcox?
David Wilcox is the dragon's name, like for real.
Not that I recall. No,
apparently
but
means warrior of the sky. And he prefers to be called David. So it's very funny. So there's a war going on apparently right now, and they try to find the Red Knight, and the Red Knight's in battle, with this horde, this villainous horde, and, you know, I mean, it's pretty obvious what's gonna happen. She's looking for her parents. Oh, I wonder who that could be. So they fly in. There's some really great sort of fantasy, like you get some nice fantasy skeletons, fire-breathing dragons. It's like this book turned from a, you know, like a New York City Adventure to like a fantasy book really quickly.
It sounds like the Tarzan series after they started to go off the rails with the writing, and they would just throw whatever bullshit sci-fi plot they had to the wall and see what would stick. Yeah. Like there were pygmies, and there was the the Savage Land, kind of like a Lost World type thing, and there was ants, giant man-eating ants and shit like that. You know, it just gets weird, and it's like, and yet somehow it seems to fit within the theme, and it kind of works. You know.
Yeah. So, the Cindy and her friends help the Red Knight, and the Red Knight sort of like says, "I'm Cindy Moon. I'm looking for my parents." Red Knight stops, takes off the helmet, and it's Cindy's mother, who is the Red Knight. So they were like for somehow, because again, I think this time changed differently in the Negative Zone. Like, is that a thing? This time
is
slow?
What?
Is time different in the Negative Zone?
Yes. Yes,
okay.
It is.
So in like the years that Cindy was captured, was not captured, but basically was hiding from Moreland, her parents, they don't explain how, but they end up in Negative Zone. We don't know the fate of her father yet, but her mother is this badass warrior Red Knight just kicking all sorts of ass. And it was actually pretty cool. I'm like, that's pretty cool. It kind of reminded me like of Hey Arnold, where like the parents went missing and you don't really know what happened to them. And like sometimes the reality of what happened to them is not as good as what you think happened to them. In this case, that's the opposite. The reality is cooler than what you ever probably going to think of. Like, hey, my mom is a badass knight fighting the undead and dragons. How fucking awesome is that?
It's pretty fucking awesome.
If you haven't reading Silk right now, I don't know what you're doing. Go read Silk. Volume 1 in this current volume. It's really, really good.
I don't
want to
read Silk, though. It's got a girl in it.
Oh, fuck all you haters. Cindy Moon's a great character. Make her in the MCU. Shit, I'll take that. Although, it's probably too early to do that. But, so yeah, I give it a 4 out of 5. So, one of my favorite Marvel books to read. I'm glad it hasn't been tied up into this Civil War. Too bullshit. And since she's going to be gallivanting in Negative Zone for a little bit, I don't think it's going to happen. But then again, Civil War 2 got delayed by 4 months. So,
hey,
probably going to tie into Civil War at some point.
So that's why you're so upset, really.
Yeah, pretty much. Like I said, it's because it's interfering with the books that I'm already reading. So, either way, that's going to do it for today's show, everybody. If you really want to support me, I mean, you support me by listening to the show, and I'm really grateful for it, but really want to support me, head over to nerdcore.online where you can check out all where I write 2 blogs a week for the site. Last week I wrote about the assassination of Captain Marvel, I sort of give my sort of small...
Character assassination.
Yeah, I should have titled that, but I figured character assassination of Captain Marvel sounded sexier. I sort of talked about that, and this, and also I sort of gave some information on the new, the first DC Rebirth event, which is Justice League versus Suicide Squad, and talk about movie synergy and why I'm sad boys that Jason Fabok is not the artist for the entire series. This week, it will be up by the time this episode goes up. I talk about DC was kind enough to send me a preview of their new book Shade the Changing Girl of their Young Animals line, and I post some the preview pages that they gave me. It was only 3 pages, but it was and a couple of variant covers, but it was still very nice of them to send it to me. That is up now. I give my thoughts on Gerard Way. My brief thoughts on what does this mean for Vertigo, now with the Young Animal stuff, and then also my personal thoughts go on the books that are coming out for it. But needless to say, and then follow me for at twitter.com/marvelousiggy for all updates on the stuff, including YouTube, Twitch, Nerdcore, this website, this podcast, as well as the other podcast I do, which is Dragon and Turtle Commentaries, which you can find them. Just go to my Twitter at marvelousiggy, and you'll find the link to my website there. And this week, Mr. Dragon and I did a commentary for Street Fighter 2, the animated movie. Needless to say, it was shenanigans. Anything you want to say, Brian, before we go?
Yeah, sure, why not? GreenLanterncorps.com, message boards, I'm usually a presence around there most of the time. On Twitter, I'm at NoMrPowers, at NOMRPOWERS. I blog on Fridays mostly. I reblog a lot of Max Landis and Patton Oswalt and shit like that. So if you're into that sort of thing, look me up. And on Facebook, we're the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. We regularly post our episode links as well as news throughout the Marvel Week. We try to keep ourselves fairly up to date. So, yeah, that's about it. That's all I got. All
right. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you all had a happy Labor Day. Thank you for listening, as always. And we will definitely see you all next week for episode 244 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. Until then, everybody, stay marvelous.